right here. Just pay attention to us. The Middle Children.
Hello, I'm Jesse Drawless.
And I'm Chris Burns.
And this is
Middle Children. Oh, did not like that.
I didn't love it, but I thought I'd try something.
The voice was
kind of dead is what I was going for.
It was kind of giving creep.
Dead, yeah.
Creepy.
I was going for creepy.
It was giving horror.
I was giving horror. Emphasis horror. On horror with emphasis on horror. Yeah, how are you, slut?
I'm good, bitch.
I missed you. How's your life been?
I did. I'm just not as quick with a...
I know.
You're like, if someone's apart from for 30 minutes, you heartfelt, like, I came back for more.
I do.
I'm just not accustomed to...
I know. I'm a sappy texter sometimes. Real sappy.
Are you?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh, thank you.
I think you're kind of mean in text.
Do you? I'm short.
Not mean,
I'm
but you come
short,
off like...
Yeah, if I'm busy, I'm short.
Well, knowing you, I know that it's not mean.
Absolutely. But sometimes I'll send you text that's like, hey, I just want you to know I think you're a hero and keep going. Like,
I don't think I've ever gotten that text.
Well, I guess
you've
I send
never
them in my
me
head
saying that I'm a hero.
I think because I know you'll hate it or roll your eyes or
I
be
will.
Like, shut up. So I'm always like, I think I send it in my mind and then I'll go, he won't like this or he'll think I'm doing it for something. Like, he'll be like, what do you want? You know what I mean? So then
that's
I won't
fair.
Send it. But I do sometimes, I compose them.
There's my least favorite text to get in the whole world.
Yeah.
Is like, hi.
Well, yeah, that's insane. Hi, what?
Hi, what?
Exactly. You
like,
have
do
to.
Do not. If you are texting me hi, thinking
that
is going to implore me to engage, absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
No, I need the who, what, where, when, and why
absolutely.
In the first fucking message.
Yeah.
Okay.
I respect that.
Hi. I'm going to start texting you that.
Hi, yeah.
That's also how I read it with that cadence.
Yeah.
Hi.
It also feels like someone's getting ready to trap you.
Yeah.
Because you go, hey, and then it's like, it's trying to be like, are you there? I want to ask you a question where you don't have time to think.
Or it's like, what are you up to tonight?
Exactly. And it goes.
Do you have plans tonight? Why? What's up? Just tell me if you have plans tonight.
Well, yeah. Are you free? And you're like, for what?
Are you free? It makes me want to go absolutely bananas.
I know.
I'm like, am I free?
For
why?
What?
Do not ask me if I'm free. And then I always have to come up with something in case.
Yeah.
It's something dumb that I don't want to do. So I have to be like, I think I might be.
Yeah. I have a few irons in the fire, but what is your iron you'd like to add?
Because if it's something fun, maybe I'm free.
Right. And if it's boring or not fun, I'm actually busy. super busy tonight.
Yes.
You know?
100%.
I'm actually really practicing right now saying no and being in an uncomfortable situation.
Do you want to give an example?
Like what you're saying where someone asked me to do something and I felt in my gut, I was like, ugh, I don't really want to do this, but I feel like I should, but I don't want to. So then when we were meeting to talk about it, I was like, actually, like, I'm not sure if this fits. I just like had the uncomfortable conversation instead of doing a slow fade, which I tend to do, or like I'll push it back or I'll be
I
like,
I respect when somebody's just like, no.
Yeah.
I had a friend and I like, it was an old like group of work friends or whatever from the restaurant. And it was like, we're meeting here, everybody. And he was just like, I can't.
Incredible.
And I'm like, no reason given.
No. Don't need to.
I can't. No.
I love it. I'm trying to practice that.
Meanwhile, I'm like, well, actually, I have, but I'll really try. And then with no fucking intent, obviously.
The amount of years I said I had a stomach bug, and then I would like be like, I can't post this weekend. I said I had a stomach bug.
A lot
and I'm
of
like,
people
why
do
did I
food
do
poisoning.
Yeah, food poisoning.
Everyone has food poisoning all the time.
When someone says they have food poisoning, sometimes I want to be like, permission to just say you don't want to come.
Be
okay?
Like, you don't have food poisoning.
Yeah, stop.
You just, or people will be like, food poisoning. I'm like, it's not food poisoning. You had a rare burger and a milkshake.
Yeah.
You poisoned yourself.
And you decided to stay in, and I respect that.
Like, anyway, we were just talking about how I think that the world is getting too nice.
I know, which really shocked me. Because
well, not the world, but okay. Like, example, okay? Have you seen American Idol lately?
No.
No one's mean on American Idol.
Oh, everyone's scared to be the mean judge.
No, because everyone, it's like everything has to be, you have to be nice.
That was like the Met Gala people.
I'm like, stop being nice.
Every announcer at the Met Gala was like, oh, wow.
Wow. This she is, won. She won. Everybody else go home. She won. I'm like, fuck you, E! News. If I see one more fucking E! News post that's like, Zendaya wins the Met Gala, I'm like, we have not seen one other dress.
Yeah, come on. Or I'm like, I don't think this is revolutionary.
It's not a win.
Did it even meet the theme? No one's saying anything about anyone.
No one cares about a theme.
To me, then I don't trust an opinion. If you can't tell me what you don't like, you can only tell me what you do. You're just scared, and I don't want to see that.
Like, okay, we don't need, like, Joan Rivers mean.
No, but we pretty don't close. Need that. I just need, like, you know, like, that dress is not functional. So for me, it's a no.
I think I can be pretty good about, like, being mean, but...
Sandwich it.
Not about, like, never about a person's body.
Right. No.
Or, like, something that they, you
yes.
know.
Yes. But fashion is about taking risks. Like, it's better to be on the worst dress list and the best than in the middle. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're on the worst, in my head, I'm saluting you because I'm saying you took a risk. It just didn't pay off for me. But we're still talking about you.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. It's everyone in the middle. I'm like, well, what did you even do?
If
you go to the Met and you wear a dress that is just, I'm just like, why are you here then?
No, I mean, somebody can be bad on American Idol, right? And this is what they do now. Oh my God. I really thought that the way you stood in the lighting was so,
so powerful.
Great and sublime, but just wasn't you're just
night.
Not right for this competition at this juncture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we need to go back to being like, whoever told you that you can sing is your enemy. Like, whoever told you to come in here and audition for American Idol, it's a practical joke between them and their friends.
I also think if I'm that person, I would rather someone say to me, hey, tonight you didn't bring it. Because to me, that's still you saying, I know what you're capable of, and
but
you
sometimes
didn't.
They're not.
Well, and sometimes it's not the right competition.
Yeah.
And then you go, me cutting from this competition means you're out of the contract and you can go have a great career. Okay?
Yeah. So well, I mean, I'm off. Also like, they're not even on contract yet.
Yeah. So free.
No, it's everything is iconic. And I'm like,
no,
it's not.
We're doing too much.
There's no line.
We've got to have lines. We've got to have judges that are just honest and who aren't scared about, like, everyone's scared.
I'm like.
Scared of what?
Scared of what?
Exactly.
Being canceled for being mean.
Yeah, but you're allowed to be mean. Like, you're allowed to have opinions on things. Just don't say someone is worthless or, I mean, but you are allowed to say it wasn't your night. You weren't the best tonight.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You sucked ass.
You can say that. It's like.
You're stupid and ugly. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, everyone's, no one, the Met.
If I hadn't been bullied.
You wouldn't know how
I
to
wouldn't
do
be
it.
Here today. You know what? If the world was how it is now when I was a kid, I would have no sense of humor.
No.
Because I would not have I wouldn't have had to develop it.
Truly.
Who's going to be funny in the future?
I don't think anybody. My Rolly backpack is why I'm sitting here today.
God, you did a Rolly backpack?
That's why I was bullied.
Still have back problems.
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's good. It really is good. But yeah, I'm like, no one has that anymore.
Wait, speaking of, can I tell you I got a massage yesterday? And this man, as we all know, I go to the same guy. It's like a Thai massage place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he stretched me out.
Stretched you out?
Like fully stretched every fucking thing in my body in like an insane way that was incredibly painful. But.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like during it, I was like, I just have to.
Yeah.
Indoor, because I feel like it's gonna be very helpful. Like at one point, he was literally like standing
on you.
Oh, he stood on me 100 times, and he like hangs off of the pole so he can like dig his feet into.
Oh,
I mean, insane. But like, picked me like made my arms like this, and then like grabbed me from my arms and like pulled me back like a fucking rubber band.
Did you crack?
I didn't crack.
Oh, okay.
But he had already done the cracking.
Sure. I actually got a massage a few days ago, too, with my girl, Amy.
Did you fuck her?
She does the same thing. No, but she and I laugh because I, she.
You would have a talking relationship with your.
Well, we laugh. It's more just she fucks me up and it hurts. So I can't not go like, ah, and then she laughs and I laugh because I'm in so much pain.
I'm just like.
You keep it in?
Yeah, of course.
Have I have bruises me? On my arm. She literally fucked me up.
I mean.
And I can't think that's not funny when somebody is hurting me so intently, like so hard. And she'll be like, whoa. She's like, how are you sleeping? I'm like, girl, I'm not sleeping.
Bitch.
Let me tell you that right now.
It's crazy how not sleeping.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're in a high school cafeteria.
I know. Just so you guys know, there's like a frat party next door.
It lit-
oh! Oh. Actually, that scared me. Can I tell you that that actually scared me? All of a sudden, I thought, what if they hear?
That was an insane thing.
I know. I can't believe I did that.
I
can't believe I did that.
Because you want me to ask them to lower it?
No, no, no. Okay. It's fine.
No, no. I love them. Tell them. Send them pastries from me.
It does sound like.
Tell them to get louder. Stop. Yeah. Honestly, it
Jesse is. It, I feel like all of a sudden we were back in high school.
Sorry.
Sitting at the cafeteria and you're yelling at the cool kids. And I was like, stop, 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 abandon.
I know.
Apologize.
I know. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. My, here's my rolly backpack. You guys can just have it. Burn it. I don't care.
I'm such a fucking loser.
I'm so sorry that I even looked your direction. It did work though. It was a puzzle to me.
You know what I was thinking about in high school? My four, like, friends, like mm-hmm. the group, if you will,
yeah,
shared a locker.
Oh my god, how did you ever keep?
I wasn't permitted to put my stuff in the locker.
That's unfortunate.
Well,
why?
That's a joke. Well, I don't know if I actually would. Well, because it was high school and people were mean, and that's how I got this way. So let's bring it back.
Let's bring it back to say what a blessing it is. Remember when you were a freshman in high school? I don't know if you had this where they tell you about your lockers. And I remember maybe because like I'm an idiot and like sometimes I was like, I don't understand how to open my locker. Like I literally was like, I don't get it. I'm petrified that I was like, I don't need a locker. And then they'd be like, no, you actually have to have one. But then my rolly backpack didn't fit in the locker. So then I would put it in my counselor's office, which I also thought was them being like, are you okay?
Your counselor allowed that? I'm assuming you were there quite often.
I mean, she and I were best friends. I'd be like, good morning. How are your kids?
Was she like a guidance counselor?
Yeah.
Or like, because you know how there's guidance counselors in high school that are like for like academics?
Yeah. That was what she was.
Oh, and you got along with her?
Yes, famously.
I hated mine, famously.
I always have gotten along with adults.
I do, too.
Oh.
Did too.
Oh, but why didn't you like your guidance counselor?
Well, in eighth grade, in the intro thing,
yeah,
I said that I wanted to be a vet, and she said, maybe I could just have pets.
That's so mean.
Like, truly.
Wow, and you went, okay, well, yeah, that's always an option.
Yeah, no, she just definitely thought I was, like, dumb and not worth her time.
Oh.
And, like, any school, I'd be like, maybe, This is also like in eighth grade. Like, there's time.
Of course.
Like, my dream would be like to go to NYU. And she's like, well, let's be more realistic.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay.
That's horrific. She should be fired.
Which is then insane because now I know, and I'm sure you do too, living here, like hundreds of people that went to NYU. And I'm like, you got into NYU?
Literally.
I'm like, in high school, like, how did you get into NYU?
I also think now, like, the whole system about being, like, if you really want to go to NYU and you don't even get in, just fucking transfer. And it's so easy to transfer anywhere.
Is it?
Well, it's a lot easier. Is it?
I don't think so. I feel like it's the same.
Is it?
You can't just transfer.
Well, then what
you can't just be like, I'm going to trick the system. I'm going to go to community college and then just go to Harvard.
Well, I think you could, something you could do is, like, look at the program that's the worst at the school. Like, kind of, I don't know. Like, let's pretend veterinarian at NYU is bad. You'd be like, that's not really a good program. You get into that, then you transfer to a you can. I don't know.
Well, obviously, I never was going to be a fucking veterinarian.
Yeah, okay. And B, I don't know what I'm really talking about, if I'm being honest. And everybody knew that, but yeah.
Yeah, we all knew.
I don't know.
I do like how confidently you speak on
things. I think college is such a scam that I'm just like, who even cares?
I'll agree with you on that.
You know, like, who literally cares? I wish more people had told me, no one's going to care. No one's going to care. Maybe the first year you're out, and even then,
no one cares.
Just start doing what you want to do,
I think what for what we do, yeah, no one cares.
Yeah, what we do specifically.
But I think if you are going to be a veterinarian or, like, sure, something like sure. that, then obviously academia matters.
For the first year. But then I think if you start being a good vet, like, everyone's going to be like, have you met Dr. Doolittle? He's a great vet.
He talks
to the animals. the animals
can actually speak to him.
Yeah, they're like, but did you go to community college? It's like, the animals speak to
him. No, you're not hearing me.
Yeah.
He speaks.
Animal.
Like, all of them.
That's what I mean. Like.
And his daughter has the gift as well.
Yeah. It's Raven Simone.
Is it?
Wasn't it?
I thought it was Kiki Palmer.
But then I think they did another one. Did they? Or maybe I'm thinking of Haunted Mansion.
I don't know.
Is she the daughter, Eddie Murphy, in that?
Daddy Daycare? Do you remember that?
No.
You never saw Daddy Daycare?
Did I? Let me think. It's not ringing a bell, though.
I have.
Did you love it?
Well, it was funny.
If it hits,
if it memory
hits.
Serves.
So you wanted to be a vet?
I wanted to be a vet.
Mm.
But then I was in dumb math and science,
totally.
Famously. Which I had undiagnosed ADD.
It's not right.
I'm like, if I had been given the tools...
That's another thing that pisses me off, okay? Do you know how many artists now were just told they were dumb for so many years? So many years!
And it's not like I went to a particular art...
Right, no.
...high school.
That would have been great.
It was just, I was in... I think I still to this day, like, the nicest compliment I can
receive.
I've gotten maybe twice,
yeah.
Is that you're smart. Because I'm like, I am.
You're so smart.
Well.
You are.
I think that's also why I, like, am obsessively, like, when I learn facts about random things.
Oh.
I think it's because I always feel dumb.
Wow.
And
I get
that. Is, like, if someone makes me feel dumb.
Yes.
It's like, I
hate
the
that. It's triggered.
Rage.
I'm triggered. I kind of see myself
like,
as.
You think I'm dumb? I'm going to destroy
your life.
Everything that you love.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, they're like, I didn't say that you were dumb.
Well, you insinuated.
And I was like,
it.
The way you looked at me.
Said it all.
Said that you think I'm fucking stupid. You, how fucking dare you tell me I'm stupid just because you're a doctor?
Ugh.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I get that. I got that triggered too. I kind of see myself as like, you know, it's like Jekyll and Hyde, like idiot and genius. Sometimes I'm like, at this particular thing, I'm a genius. And then other times I'm like, I'm a fool. And I know it. Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea what we're talking about.
There's some people that are so smart and then you would never know.
That they're smart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like people that you think are dumb and then...
Because they could be street dumb.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That can be real. That's the thing. We're all different in different departments.
I was street dumb and book dumb.
Yeah, I was certainly book dumb. And honestly, street dumb.
I think I'm street smart now.
I think I'm better. Sometimes I have to catch myself in certain things. I'll be like, huh.
Through some major trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
I do think
some
that
hard
I'm...
lessons we've all learned that you're like, huh. I was telling you about when I first moved to New York and I literally got scammed on the street. Like, on the street.
Why don't you tell
street.
That story on the... it's a fun story.
I will tell that story. Thank you for saying that. So I was, like, young. I was, like, 22, whatever. Walking around New York. I have no idea what happened, but I was, like, talking or said something. This man, this older man, 60s, so already I trust him, goes, oh, that voice. And I was like, because, oh. You know, I moved to New York being, like, everyone's a scout.
The name on every...
Yeah. Too bad. One me, like, ready to just, like, meet a producer who's like, I want to give you money, I want to put you in things. So this man's like, your voice. I'm like, oh. He's like, are you an actress? And I was like, I dabble. And he's like, your voice, I'm a voiceover agent. Like, your voice could be, like, on so many things.
He could
things.
Be the voice of Purina.
Literally. And I was like, oh, my God. He's like, the only thing we need to do is make a demo. And I was like,
wait, so all of this conversation is happening
on the street,
standing on the street.
On the street. on the street. He's like about to get in a cab is how it feels.
And you're
he's
already like, talking logistics.
Yeah. I'm like, this is my big break. Can't believe it happened. Then he's like, we just need to make a demo. I need $60 cash right now. I'm like, $60 cash right now? And I'm like, oh, wow, this feels like such a good. I think he gave me a fake business card. Then he's, and of course, I never have cash. So he's like, I'll go with you to the ATM. I'm like, oh, great.
I got time for that.
Literally, this old man and I are going to an ATM because I'm like,
he's probably like, I cannot believe this is working.
I couldn't believe. Yeah. And it really truly was not until I handed the money to him and he got, you know, went away that I went, wait a sec. Like, I have no, like, there was nothing.
He has no way to contact me.
It was like there. Yeah. There, I had his card, but like, he didn't have my information. What's the demo? I just like, just, it was happening. So I know it was happening so quick. I was so excited. I was so trusting of everyone. I think also maybe when you move to New York, you are like, I am the bee's knees. I'm just waiting for someone to notice it.
Yeah. I feel like the first, like, 6 months of living in New York were maybe my most confident.
Yeah, exactly. It's like with dating when someone's like, I really like you. And when I was younger, I'd be like, really? And now I'm like, well, you don't even know me yet. So why don't you just slow your roll and shut the fuck up?
Oh, literally. I'm like, you do not fucking know me. How dare you say that?
Yeah. I'm like,
asshole.
Keep it in your pants, you loser.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm livid at you. And now I'm disgusted by you.
I'm like, keep it moving.
Yeah. I'm offended. So it's just a different vibe. But back then, Jesse, I truly was like, of course I'm going to get stopped in the street and recruited.
I'm like, 8 months. I'm going to work at this restaurant for maybe 8 months.
Maybe.
And then I'll win my first Oscar at 22.
Yep. That feels right in my timeline.
And then you blink and you're 34.
Truly. Truly.
Yeah, I like genuinely was like, I'm going to work at a restaurant for maybe 6 months.
Me too. And every job, like when I worked at Letterman, I had in my mind, you
it's
know,
my big
where
break.
Yeah, I was like, Letterman's going to hear that there's a page downstairs who is crushing the warm up.
Well, that's
crushing.
They really make you think things like,
yeah,
if you go, even if you like go, you're an audience member at Letterman.
Yeah.
In the early years of living in it, you're like, well,
my big break.
It's my big break. He's going to see me.
That's it.
Obviously.
Obviously.
He's going to hear me say a joke to my friend and be like, wait, what was that?
Yeah, exactly.
That was the funniest thing I've ever heard. Next thing you know, I am Letterman.
Exactly. Like, we already know Letterman gets close to interns, lower on the totem pole people. I went, listen, sex sells. Like, I'm like, okay, the man is
like,
giving
Jesse,
interns a chance.
You've been dressing inappropriately.
You're not wearing the uniform. I'm like, you've altered it. I said, I'm just making sure he sees me. Literally, Letterman wouldn't even look at us, talk to us, ran past us. That's what he would do. But I was like, it's going to get to the higher ups, the writing department. There is a funny girl down here. If we don't bring her up, mistake.
Meanwhile, even the writers that are working on that show are like,
hate
someday
their
I'm gonna
life.
Make it.
Literally hate their life. Like, they're like, don't be a writer here. I'm like, okay.
It really is interesting. I feel like I'm in a place now where I'm like, you've got to accept where you are.
Yeah.
And then let, like, whatever. Like, you can't keep, I feel like you get so attached to
the story,
those dreams, even if they, you kind of get experience in them and you're like, maybe this is not my dream.
Totally.
You know?
That's what's wild. That's why it's like, if you're young, trying things and failing or trying them and not liking them is an awesome thing. Like, trying something and realizing you don't like it is a beautiful closure to be like, that's not the solution. Great. Now I know that's not the way. Now I'm going to go this way. Like, it's so great to do that, even though it feels like when you're younger, you're like, I wasted time. You didn't. You clarified where you're going.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's why I will be attending NYU in the fall at the veterinarian school.
You would be a great vet.
No, I don't think I could handle it.
I couldn't. I couldn't handle when like things are going badly. Actually,
which I'm like,
no, yeah.
It would always be going badly if you're at my vet's office. I'll tell you that.
Well, it's like, yeah, when I can't handle, when animals are kind of in trouble.
Even like
I don't
the confidence it takes, I think, to be a doctor, just to be confident in like, this decision that could ruin and end a life.
Yeah.
I just would never have that sort of.
I'm too
like,
emotional.
Well, what do you think?
I'm too emotional.
I'm like, I think it's cancer, but
I think it's cancer, but we could try something else. I would just be like, okay.
Oh, Jesse would be.
I'd be sobbing every day. Like, and
dehydrated.
Dehydrated and just too emotional with everybody. You know, like they'd be like, Jesse, the people are consoling you when I go. I'm really upset. You know, I was attached to Twinkle Toes.
You'd be like the Katherine Heigl of the hospital.
I would. There's no denying it. I would cut a cord if I had to.
It was me.
It was me. I cut the cord.
I cut Denny's outfit wire. That, maybe I thought I was a surgeon, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it goes?
Oh, yeah. And then she gets $8 million.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
And then donates it to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then dies. No.
No.
She lives. She gets, George dies.
Yeah. God, the George death is, that'll, you'll never.
The back. Scene, though, sobbing in the prom dress, being carried down the stairs.
I know.
You didn't like it?
It's a lot.
I loved it.
Well, I mean, yeah, we're all sobbing at that point. It's just so dramatic, but it worked.
That was like prime Grey's Anatomy. I would watch on my family computer after the whole family was in bed.
Yeah.
And I would watch on whatever.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Especially because I love Denny.
Crying hysterically. Crying. Show me an episode of Grey's Anatomy. That, every episode, I'll cry.
Yeah.
Also, every like cooking competition show when someone goes home for some reason.
Oh, wow.
Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
When someone goes home, that always makes me cry.
Oh.
Because there's no prize. They're there for themselves.
Yeah, they are.
So when they're told you're not good enough to win nothing.
That hurts.
That just. And they're like, well, it was a nice respite from my whole life as a mother of seven where I am constantly being ripped apart from seven different children.
Yeah, that can be hard.
I still, to this day, one of my like, cry where I'm like, I need to
take a
force it.
Yeah. Oh, jumpstart.
I'll YouTube. This is fucked up, but yeah. I'll YouTube the shooting episode of Grey's Anatomy and the scene with April. Remember?
I'm a daughter. I have two parents. I haven't lived. I haven't loved.
Nobody's loved me yet. Yeah.
Oh, it is great. Run. That's, yeah. And that man, oh, because he loved his wife.
He loved
his wife. Boy, did he love his wife.
They pulled the cord.
You know what? And Shepard really wasn't in a good place then. He did not handle that with care. And
Lexi, remember? Because Lexi, they made Lexi
that
be the one that pulled the thing. And she starts crying. And he's like, if you're going to do this, you have to do it. And then immediately the shooter comes and is like, I'm killing you because you're the one that pulled the cord.
I know.
That actress also, where has she been?
Where has she been?
And why would you leave the show?
Why would you ever? Because
I read that it was her. She wanted to leave.
I'm sure it gets repetitive and boring.
I think a lot of them think, from here, I'm going to be huge.
They think they're going to Katherine Heigl it.
Well, I wouldn't exactly say that. What did she do?
Well, she had a really booming career for a little bit. Like, she was making a ton of movies.
Can she name more than three?
27 dresses. Knocked up. Well, those are two massive movies. Okay. Let's take a moment.
Are big, but she thought she was going to be like Meryl Streep.
Well, she like played herself out of her career. Everybody that worked with her hated her.
That's true.
Well, and honestly, I don't trust that because a part of me.
I don't trust it either.
I'm like, I think that that's very much we love to make women be a bitch.
I think she hated working at Grey's Anatomy.
I think that she had boundaries and probably was getting pushed in different departments. Grey's Anatomy must be so hard because everyone's coming in a diva. When there are that many stars in a show, you're going to have a problem.
But I do feel like there's one.
Who?
Meredith.
Oh, okay. But I'm saying like, but then who's second? I read
that Meredith has a separate entrance.
Me too.
To set that like her car directly takes her to.
Okay. Well, so Meredith.
And Meredith's also best friends with Shonda.
Well, right. But I'm saying at the beginning of the show when it was like Sandra.
Imagine also.
Yeah.
Being Ellen Pompeo and booking the role of Grey in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Huge.
Great. I don't think she knew it would be that big, though, yet.
No, I mean.
But little did she know.
And then George left. Why did he leave?
I think he also, I know that there was homophobic.
Yeah, but the
other guy left, but I don't
got
think
fired.
I don't think he felt supported.
I don't need to feel supported. on set.
And there you go.
Book me.
And I think
you can fucking treat me like shit. I get off on it.
Don't treat me like shit. Treat me with respect, but I'd love to be a part of it.
Yeah, I say that respectfully. If anyone actually treated me like yeah. shit, I would be like, who the fuck do you think
literally.
That you are? Who else, though? There was a person. Oh, Sandra Oh, she's had a great career. So
that's what I'm saying. But like she also, that's I'm like, okay, there were big players at the beginning and they all didn't know the show would be great. Then it gets big. It's like Friends where it's like, we got a lot of divas in the house. Are we going to be a team or are we going to be divas? They chose the diva route, which is fine.
I guess Katherine Heigl does have that Netflix show.
That's what I'm saying.
But I can't imagine she would prefer that to Grey's Anatomy.
I think she took a break from the industry because I think that.
Well, she has kids too. She adopted a special needs bit. Like, she's, I think, a good person.
I do, too. I think that, honestly, it was at the time women, I mean, every day women are fighting. But I think she tried to have boundaries. She tried to make her own shots. And I think a lot of people didn't like that. So they said she was a bitch.
But
and
also,
hard to work
like,
with.
Shonda Rhimes, like, imagine you are Shonda Rhimes, okay? You've created the show.
I already am there.
You're the writer.
Love it.
And this actress is like, actually, I think my character would do this. No, baby. I'll tell you what
I'll
your character is going to do.
I would kill her.
She's going to get cancer and she's going to maybe die. But instead, we're just going to write
you
off
in
case I want to bring you back.
Yeah. Because I think what really was bad, and I think she's apologized for it, is that Katherine Heigl said, like, I don't want to get an Emmy. The writing wasn't good enough for my character, which is like aggressive and horrific to say, especially to the writers.
Oh, so you're not getting an Emmy for writing.
Yeah, it's not your choice. You're not the one calling the shots.
Did she not get an Emmy or did she?
I think that she, I forget, I think it's the fifth season or something. It's like they were not, she was nominated and she like turned it down or said like, I don't think I deserve this based on the writing for my character.
Also, I don't think the writing is like particularly bad.
No, I thought it was actually pretty great writing.
Because sometimes I'm like, yeah, this writing, like if you watch any like that show 911 or.
Yeah.
What's that? There's like FBI.
I don't.
The writing is just
bad,
atrocious. No offense.
No offense to any of the writers.
I'm available if you
absolutely
need a writer or
an actor.
Anything really.
I do it all.
I really just want to play a psycho.
Yeah, and I think that's possible.
Like, imagine being on Law and Order.
I do.
As the
psycho.
Psycho.
I told you I auditioned
for.
Law and Order.
What was the...
As the person who ended up being the killer.
When was this?
Years ago.
Have you seen the episode?
I don't think I brought myself to it.
Mm.
But unfortunately, I loved the idea of it, but I also had to have a West Virginia accent. So that's the part that really threw me off. Because I was like, wow, I have to cry and have a West Virginia accent?
What was the premise? Do you remember? I want to see if I remember the episode.
I know, first of all, at the agent that I had at the time was sending me for roles that were like aggressive, large, butch woman. Like that was every role I got was like, Jesse, how about this? And I'd be like, huh.
Big, ugly woman.
Literally, it was like unattractive woman who looks like a man. I'd be like, okay, I'm with you.
Famously, when I had my two-line role on Difficult People.
Yes.
The... agent who was not my agent. She was a child talent agent that I knew through a friend.
Okay.
Called me to be like, I got your role of a lifetime. Verbatim. The role of your of a lifetime came across my desk for you. It's chubby gay teen. And I'm like, that's my role of a lifetime. Apparently it is, because I haven't booked a TV gig since.
Yeah.
Chubby gay teen.
Sometimes the sides you get and the way your agent looks at you. I remember being like, I don't know if you get me. Like, I don't think you get me. You're sending me for roles that are not me. And it's hurting my feelings. So... But yeah, it can be. It's a dog eat dog world with that, I'll tell you. So I didn't book it. But every girl in the waiting room, we all had a low pony that day. I'll tell you that much. It was a low pony central in there.
People love a low pony. That's also what I've been saying. The Met Gala. Like, low if pony. I see one more tight bun.
Ew.
J-Lo. Whatever happened
you know
to
who
the
you
updo?
Are. I don't know what's happening.
Let me
a lot of
you
hair
whatever
was lazy.
Whatever happened to an updo?
I don't...
Weddings, if I see one more bride, and no offense
to brides,
walk down the aisle with her hair down in loose beach waves, I'm going to kill myself.
Wow.
I'm like, what happened to the formal updo?
I will say I'll never do an updo.
Why? They're glamorous.
I wear my hair down because I'm like a nervous hair gal.
Yeah, but like an updo is so
fancy. You have to have
supreme.
It's very supreme. It's just not me.
I
was in a wedding where the bride wanted her hair down, so she made all of us have an updo. And I was like, oh, man. And she's like, so you guys get to have your hair up. I'm like, oh, we get to? Maybe you should get to. It's such an honor. Why don't you do it? I don't want my hair up. I hate hairspray, too. Hairspray is the bane of my existence.
Oh, I love a nice, big, stiff updo.
You do?
Yeah.
Good luck afterwards. Because
I'm like, you look like the fucking queen.
Yeah, until afterwards you look like an absolute empress who's lost control and has gone crazy.
Well, beauty's pain.
That's the thing. Beauty is pain.
You know, if I could have a formal updo at all times, I probably would.
At my wedding, it's going to be down. It's going to be probably loose beach waves. Just kidding. But
it will be. That's what everyone does these days. Real Housewives reunions. Everyone loves loose beach waves.
I know. Well, I'll wear it curly, I think, is what I'll do since... That's my hair.
Did you get it cut?
Recently? I did, but I'm trying to figure out my hair still. Every day is a literal battle. A literal battle.
I thought you were going to do a purple bob.
Yeah, remember that? Then I absolutely panicked, and I was like, what's really going on inside?
Yeah, that was the right choice.
That, I think sometimes when I'm like, I'm chopping
right
it all.
A bob.
Okay, say that to my face.
I don't think you have the right hair for a bob.
I don't think so either. And I also don't have the right, like, temperance to, like, I had low short hair for a little bit. And styling short hair is literally the most athletic activity I could ever do. And I failed miserably.
How short?
It was, like, in college I did, like, to here one time. I was straightening it at the time. I had to straighten it. But sometimes I tried to do beach waves or something. And, like, I was, like, it's too close to my head. I'm scared for my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get your ear? Bye. No, I'm not losing an ear.
Yeah.
No, sir. No, siree.
What are you going to do?
Nothing. And then, you know, when I didn't style it, I was sort of like, I look like kind of the unattractive, like, page boy girl in, like, Newsies. You know, the one who they're like, oh, come on, Sammy. You're not really a guy. And she's like, let me in. Let me in, boys. So I didn't want that for me. But some girls can rock a little, like, I love when it looks like a little nub in their hair.
You love that?
Like, when girls have short hair and their ponytail's so little, I'm like, that is so cute.
We could not disagree more.
Wow.
I'm like, why are you putting that in a pony?
Well, you have to when you want to put it back.
Well.
When you go to the gym, if you work out with your hair down, I don't respect you.
Sometimes there's girls at Rumble that leave their, like, full hair down, and I'm like, how are you doing that?
I don't respect you. I'm like, you're here for a different reason. If you're here to work, you better get that hair up, bitch. Get it back. Get it up. Come to play.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, should we try our new segment?
Yes. Chris has come up with a new segment that is so fun. Tell us what it is.
Okay. Well, so it is like
podcast
improv?
Roulette? Yeah.
But I think it'd be fun for us to show our versatility.
I love that.
And our brains.
Ah.
And so Mike is going to give us like a situation of two people who would have a podcast.
Yes.
And then we will pretend that we are those people and doing whatever their passion is
whatever
on their podcast.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So we'll do some examples.
Great.
Mike, do you have
an example one? I have three
Let's do it.
We're going to try it.
Okay. The first one for today.
Okay.
Two junior high school wrestling champions discuss the world of Greco-Roman wrestling.
Okay, we are off to the races in a big way.
First of all, I'm so excited to be here. This is me in middle school. So excited to be here. And so excited to talk about something that we both love, which is
Greco-Roman wrestling.
Greco-Roman
wrestling. And as you guys know, I'm the smart one.
And as you guys know, I'm the muscle.
And so for those of you who are not aware, Greco-Roman wrestling is when in the Roman times,
yeah,
the men,
yes,
would all get together,
yeah,
in the center,
yeah,
of the town,
mm,
and they would fight for the love of the queen,
mm,
and whoever won was named Greco.
Such a smart system. It's sort of like Red Rover, but in a confined space and with wrestling.
And so that could not be more right. What was your name? Frisbee?
Frisbee.
Frisbee. We call him Frisbee because on the first day of school in seventh grade, he got knocked in the face with a Frisbee. That's yeah, when the lisp started.
Totally.
But we all stayed friends with him because it's 2020.
Seven.
Four.
Four.
Oh, yeah. Are we in the future?
Maybe.
And everyone's nice. So
everyone's so nice.
We are so nice to the kid with a
speech impediment. It's not that big a deal.
But so we were talking. What's your favorite match?
My favorite type of match is, first of all, I love what I like to call quick match. So I love when somebody really sideswipes. Sideswipes right from the start. And it's a pin, and there's no coming back.
Yeah, I like a fish hook.
Ooh.
I like it when the guy on the other team fish hooks me.
Yeah.
And then I elbow him really hard in the chest.
Oh, yeah.
And then I win the match, and then I win the love of the queen.
I love that. And sometimes it feels like I don't even need the queen. Like, the love of the ring is what really gets me going.
You know? I like girls. I like girls.
All right. I'm kind of open is how I feel, but I love that you like girls. And if you didn't, it'd be okay too.
Why do you keep saying that?
No, I'm saying.
Why does everyone say that to me all the time?
I don't know.
Everyone always says, you know, if you were gay, we'd still like you. And I'm not.
Okay.
I dated Becky Carlson.
Absolutely.
She's in the ninth grade.
Yeah.
And she's the hottest girl in the high school.
She's a looker.
She's the looker.
She's definitely a looker.
And ever since she got her leg braces off?
Stunning. Yeah.
Okay? And so I know that's who I fight for.
The leg brace is what kept you guys from being intimate and stuff.
Your impediment's getting better. Let's get another suggestion.
Please keep in mind
that we are not a straight man.
That was why I thought the challenge would be good.
The challenge was good.
I did that on purpose, Chris.
I dove in.
Wrestling. I just don't need more sports.
Sure.
Okay. Two very guilty white-collar criminals launch an entire podcast campaigning to prove their innocence.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh, I like that too.
Is it a crime to siphon money from families that have given me their credit card numbers? I don't see how that's a crime.
No, it's not a crime.
They willfully gave me the credit card numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Show me where it's written in the law that I'm not allowed to use that money to buy myself a Mercedes G-Wagon.
Here's the thing, you guys. This is what we like to call between the line of guilty and not guilty.
Between the line, we're cutting lines.
Exactly.
Because we love to cut lines of cocaine. We don't wait in line for anything.
No, we don't.
Because if you wait in line, you are what? A loser. We've been saying that since we opened our first bank.
Yes.
The Bank of Godhood. Because we are gods on earth.
And the thing is, it's not our job, if you're stupid, mm-hmm, to tell you not to do something. If you're stupid,
you deserve
we're going to take your money. We're going to teach you a lesson. And that's why laws exist. A lot of times you got to break a law to create a law.
Do you know who breaks laws?
Who?
Lawmakers.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
If you're not breaking laws, you will not get rich in this country.
Yes.
That is a fact.
Fact.
Okay, I did not spend 5 years in white collar prison to learn nothing.
Exactly. And by the way, everyone in prison, they're thinkers. They're climbers and they're
I met the smartest people I've ever met at my time in prison.
Me too.
In the federal penitentiary, I learned all kinds of things. How to move money. How to keep money.
How to hide money.
How to curl hair with Diet Coke cans.
That's cool.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that is something I learned from my neighbor who was in prison.
Absolutely.
In a women's prison.
Yeah. And I think also it's important to remember that in prison, you learn about society.
And how it works.
That's
how we met.
Absolutely. You and I were the two heads of two, I don't want to say the word gangs.
Rival white collar gangs.
And in prison, it was either we were going to kill each other or form an alliance.
And we formed an alliance.
Yes, we did.
And we both turned on our teams.
Yeah.
And we siphoned their money as well.
Yes.
And then we used the money we took from them to...
Start our own drug.
Well, not drugs.
No, not drugs.
We did not sell drugs in prison.
We don't sell drugs. Again. And we never sell drugs.
And we did not, ever.
That's not something we do. There aren't drugs in prison. And if they are in prison, that isn't...
I think there are drugs in prison.
Well, there aren't drugs in prison, but they're not coming in through us.
No.
You know what I mean?
But we do know who to tell you.
Yeah, we can hook
you up.
We're the
middleman. That's how you really make money. Not doing anything.
Yes.
But somehow still being in charge.
Exactly. You want to have someone the scapegoat. You want to have someone to blame who's touching it.
We had Little Neil.
Little Neil.
We had Gay Travis.
Gay Travis was great.
And we had Boingo Bango.
Boingo Bango also never asked a question. And
never.
That's the type of person
he
I want working
for. He only just said, Boingo Bango. We don't even know his real name. But he would do whatever we said with enthusiasm.
And that's what you need on your team. If you're going to manipulate, which again, money is manipulation, you need people who are followers.
Amen. And we got Gay Travis in. He started investing in the gay scene that we had no idea. And let me tell you something, those faggots have money.
Yeah, they do.
They have money to burn, honey.
Yes, they
do. And burn they do. And they can dance.
They can really drop it low, pick it up slow.
They're fine. Well, you hooked up with that one thinking
that
he was a woman.
Right.
Which?
Listen, I'm open. I have no problems.
Yeah, you've always been open.
I've always been open. I'm not going to worry about something like that. And sometimes you just want to get touched. And if you have a problem with that, move it along.
Okay. Wow.
Thank you.
So things aren't working out with your wife then?
No. Unfortunately. She's just too judgy for me. She'll be like, where were you? Where was I? Making money.
Yeah.
What were you doing? Making money.
And cheating on her.
Well, yeah, but that's how you make money. You got to have those connections.
If you're not cheating on your wife, no one's going to respect you.
Exactly. If you're not someone who knows how to lock down cash and lock down a lady, spread those legs, spread those money.
Yeah.
You know?
Everything that I learned from watching American Psycho.
So true.
And Christian Bale's character in that, great skin.
Yeah.
He fucks.
He fucks.
He makes money.
Okay? Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I kill anybody.
No.
Because I don't.
No.
Because guess what? I'm rich. I pay somebody to do that for me.
Bingo bango.
Bingo bango.
Yep.
He is that guy.
And that's what he does.
It's bingo bango comes from the sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that
bango.
Yeah.
But we don't know where the
bango. You know, we wish him well.
Of course.
He's doing 25 to life now for something not related to us.
Not related to us.
And Gay Travis is on American Idol.
Can you believe?
I mean, he always could sing.
He always could sing. He would sing sometimes late at night. We weren't allowed to sing late at night or really talk to each other, but he would
That's
sing.
How we knew he was gay, because he sang in prison.
Yeah, and only the gays sing. That's kind of a rule.
Yeah.
It's a rule we have.
Yeah, we made it up.
Now, as a sales guy, because I do think it's important, when someone talks to me and they always say, well, how do you get the money? How do you get the first person to invest so you have money to move? That's your forte.
Yeah.
You know how to get the money on the table. What would you suggest to someone who's like, I need that first step?
Okay, so normally I will say it is a dry cleaners.
Mm.
And I want them to invest in my business.
Great.
So I will go into the dry cleaners and I'll say, I can offer you protection around the neighborhood.
Okay.
In exchange for you investing 20% of your daily earnings.
Right.
To my business.
Okay.
They say, I'm not interested. They're always going to first say, I'm not interested.
Right. That's part of the negosh.
Exactly. And I say, well, it would be terrible if something were to happen at this dry cleaners and you don't have anybody here to protect you.
Right. Right.
Because let me tell you something. The streets are mean.
Mm.
And I'm here to protect you from those mean streets.
Right. 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 Right.
And they'll usually be like, no.
We've never had a robbery before.
Definitely not interested.
Yeah.
And then I usually will light something on fire.
Smart.
Just to show.
that something could happen.
That something could happen.
Right.
And then I say, wouldn't it be horrible if that happened to everything in here?
That would be terrible.
And they'll be like, well, that's not gonna happen to everything. And I'm like, so around now, usually about 20% will start to give in.
Yeah.
And then if they still don't, I return that night and I burn up some more stuff.
Smart.
Maybe I break a kneecap. Something like easy peasy that you really can't go down for.
Smart.
Okay. And they will generally at that point concede.
Right.
And you have yourself a forever business partner.
What an incredible. Thank you for that lesson.
Of course.
That is a lesson you don't get every day. No one's going to break it down like that. So, yeah, there is no, you're not verbally communicating any kind of threat, which is important.
It's all with the eyes. Mm-hmm. And there's cameras everywhere these days.
That's true. So, what do you do about camera and new security systems?
I usually, you know, the poles that you would use to clean a pool?
Yes, I do. Like a pool noodle, you're saying?
No. Like, you know, like on a, like to clean the top.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Nobody questions that because
generally
you're like, there goes a pool guy.
Right.
So I bring that in and I knock the cameras down and I go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I got
carried away.
Mixed up.
Yeah, mixed up.
You know, I do it by accident.
Smart.
Or guns work too.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Should we move on?
Yeah.
That was fun.
You really had a lot of info.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. My favorite of the day.
Oh.
Two out-of-work construction workers document their journey to become beat poets and practice their craft on a weekly podcast.
Wow. As the only two women in construction.
Absolutely.
Did you see that coming?
No.
You guys thought it was going to be a man.
You would.
We met, me and Suzanne.
Yep.
Met as ditch diggers originally.
Ditch diggers.
We would be digging the foundations of houses that we knew we were never going to be able to afford.
Nope.
And I said, there's got to be more.
You did.
To life. And I remember you were writing poems.
At the time.
Because mm-hmm. everybody was making fun of you.
Well, yeah. Because some of the boys, yeah.
Calling you Shakes Deer because it was when the John Deere tractor had run over your left leg.
Yeah.
And so everyone called you Shakes Deer.
It wasn't my favorite time.
And I mean, you spent so much time in the hospital recouping from that.
Oh, God.
Which
I'm really
so sorry
did.
For not visiting you again.
No, it's fine.
But
no one
hospitals,
wanted to come.
Yeah,
they're scary.
Creep me out.
They're scary places.
And you wrote that poem about how much you loved construction. Do you want to recite
I'd
that?
Love to, because I remember when I first wrote it too.
And it did rhyme, if I remember.
It certainly did. You really can't write a poem without rhyming.
Totally.
So it started with, you know, a plot of dirt at the start, but then you got to put a little heart, a mound or two, and soon it grows. What it'll become?
Nobody knows.
That was my favorite line, too. A ditch, a tractor. Here we go. Bring the men in to and fro.
A ditch, a tractor.
Yeah.
Passion is the biggest factor.
Mm.
I love to write. I learned it out of spite.
Yeah, I did.
And I love building houses, but only ones big enough for mouses.
Yes.
Because this is the point in my career where I was realizing maybe construction
wasn't right. Well, because famously,
really for me.
So one day the boys were all, you know, read it. And you started laying down a beat.
Well, I was fucking multiple.
Well, you were
them
fucking multiple of them.
And so I really felt I was on the spot.
You were?
Because
I
said, if number one, they're going to find out that I'm fucking all of them.
Of course.
At that time, I think I was fucking the whole squad.
Absolutely.
The whole crew.
Yeah.
Even the foreman.
Always the foreman.
Foreman Borman. That's what the poem Foreman the Borman came because he was so boring.
Well, he was boring, but here's the thing about men who work with their hands. Boy, can they use them.
Which your poem,
you know,
about
I'm
that
saying?
Always really
crushed.
And the cadence that you said it in a real beat style.
Well, yeah.
Gorgeous.
Well,
I would love to hear it.
Will you drop the beat that you would give me?
the slam poetry doesn't have beats usually. No.
Well, but you would always sort of give me one, I thought.
I don't think that was.
Don't be shy now.
No, that's not what. That's beatboxing.
Oh, interesting.
Slam poetry is.
I think it can be.
Poetry at heart. This is where we would always get in disagreements. Because I said, I'm not a rapper.
I'm not a rapper. And myself neither as well included in that. But also at the same time, I say, I loved a beat. But maybe
I don't think I can do that for you. It will distract me as an artist. And I just can't have that footage out there.
Absolutely. No, not the footage. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the beats. Oh, the romantic tale with Dwayne. Was that what we were talking about?
The day I first met Dwayne, I think that's how it started.
The day I first met Dwayne, I remember I was sitting in the rain, massive hands, sturdy thighs.
Fat cock.
Fat cock.
On the clock.
Yeah, on the clock. That I love that line.
No need to come in your sock. I'll be your rock. Even while wearing this frock.
Ugh.
I know in high school, you were just a jock.
Yeah.
And I, nothing but a poet.
Yeah. Don't I know it.
And when I started in construction, days.
Yeah.
I knew that it would make waves.
Mm.
Because I am a what? A girl.
Ah.
Peeing standing up.
No, sir.
No. Where I live, rural.
Mm.
But it's not about me.
Mm-mm.
I'm here to talk about the future.
Yeah.
And then, sorry.
Oh my God, no.
I can't go on.
No.
This poem just brings too much emotion for me.
That means,
and so
that's the thing about poetry
and construction. Like, and it was so hard,
I know,
to leave the construction site.
Yeah,
but I knew that if I didn't try to make a career in slam poetry in this small town now,
yeah,
I never would.
No,
and who cares if I have to work 5 jobs at the Dollar General to pursue? I work 5 positions all at Dollar General.
Incredible.
And yeah, I run that store. I run Branch 67.
It's so, you guys all by gotta myself, go.
Just to do slam poetry one night a week at Beans Bonanza, the only coffee shop in town.
What a great coffee shop it is. And I will say there is a little bit of a following. A little bit of a following. There's a solid 12, and thank you to the 12, you know who you are, that come every week.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, I can't wait to hear the next
one. And people say that they are just the alcoholics that are coming for wine night because they do it on the same evening.
Well, yeah.
And I say,
you're wrong.
You're wrong. They're there for the art.
You know a poem I love?
What?
I love the one your Dollar General poem. You know the one you do about Dollar General? Oh, I love it.
Dollar General. Oh,
you know the one.
Am I up to it?
Are you up to it? I feel like, yeah. Oh, it's so good, you guys.
Another day, another dollar.
Mm.
Someday I'll wear a job. Someday I'll have a job where I have to wear a collar.
Ugh, I love that one.
But I don't have a dollar.
Mm.
And that's where people always get confused because I do rhyme dollar.
With
dollar, but so does Nicki Minaj.
Exactly.
so many things to put in the aisles.
Mm.
I don't have any friends, not even that one kid, Kyle.
Ugh.
We tried to talk about things that we love, like the episode of Forensic Files.
Yeah.
Where he talks about his mother's death.
Yeah.
I believe her name was Mary Beth.
Yeah. Mm.
If I work hard enough, I'll get promoted.
Yeah.
Because they know, as an employee, I'm devoted.
Wow.
I stock the candy shelves Everything chocolate coated.
Ugh.
All the plumbing seems to be eroded. Until one day, I met a friend. Mm. And in the store, she came afloated. I said, hey, weren't you that girl that used to work on construction sites? And she said, I'm just here to buy something to clean up the dust mites. Mm. That's when two people arguing happened.
Yeah.
They got in a fight. And I said, there has to be something better to put in my sight.
That line hits. Sorry.
And you said, can I apply for a job? Right now I'm making money slobbing on knob.
I was. I was hired by a man to just put my mouth around a doorknob. It's called slobbering on knob.
Oh, is that what you meant?
What did you mean?
Sucking dick is what I thought that you were doing.
Well, one man, his kink was me just...
sucking on doorknob? That somehow is even more demeaning than just sucking dick.
It really is.
And that's when we came up with our first book of poems.
Yeah.
Sucking Dick.
Sucking Dick.
And it was very hotly discussed in the area at the time.
Yeah, because we used first and last names.
Yeah, 100%. Of the men. 100%. Thank you guys so much for listening to our slam poems on construction.
Mm.
And if you want to tune in next week, we are sponsored by Frank's Eggplants on Route 14.
Yes.
Just pull up to the cart and
say we sent you.
Say we sent you. And you'll get a free eggplant for every three.
Isn't that wonderful?
That you buy.
Incredible.
And thank you to Frank.
And thank you so much to Frank.
For being our biggest sponsor.
So sweet.
How are things going with him, by the way?
Good. I love his eggplant.
Good. Yeah.
Mm.
It's a shame he's married.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we have for you today.
Goodbye.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Goodbye. You know what? That's really stunning.
I can rhyme, honey.
I know.
Thank you. That is impressive.
When you said devoted, was that what you rhymed?
Promoted and devoted?
Yeah.
I did have a feeling for a second when Jesse said, give me a beat. There was a part of me that when I wrote that, I was like, Jesse, I have a feeling Jesse might not know what like beat poetry is.
See, that's me being dyslexic. I take a lot of things.
What?
Sometimes with certain words, I take things literally where I went beat. It's not that I remember I did in high school.
Is that dyslexia?
I guess. Or is it being just not knowing?
Beat is like when they go knowing. like.
It's like.
This yogurt is. But it's like ba, ba, ba. It's where they do it in like the night, like the. It's like something they did in the
50s. Yeah, it's like slam poetry.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay,
like
well,
that.
I know slam. I thought beat poetry had a beat. I did. Just like one time, I remember I was in an improv show and they said fly fishing and I went like this. Like I went to fish with. For flies?
Wait, what?
I don't know. Is that how you fly fish? Yeah, I really...
No, fly fishing
Chris,
is like...
Mic.
Fly...
There you go.
Fly fishing is like when you stay kind of on top of the water like a fly would.
Right.
To catch... Like
but
the
do
bait
you have a
fly.
Bait? Or do you have a...
Do you have a...
String?
Yeah.
You go like this?
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe I don't know.
I don't think that's dyslexia.
What is it then? Because it's not knowing certain words.
You know what the word fly means.
No, I know, but but beat poetry. What is it when I just take things literally? I'm literal? What does that mean?
I think you just don't know what beat poetry is.
Okay, yeah, then I don't know what beat poetry is. And you know what? I will say that I'm dyslexic.
That is not dyslexic.
Let me be dyslexic.
Isn't dyslexia like you don't see words up. Right?
Well, I think it's, reading's obviously a nightmare, and but word association and, like, also comprehension is difficult. A lot of times that's why I'm very literal about things I hear. I'll be like, beat, poetry, we're off to the races. That's all I think. I'm not trying to be funny when I do it. I'm literally like, this to me makes sense.
No, I see how it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think it's dyslexia. Because I like see.
I see it.
What it is. I think okay. there's probably a lot of people that would think beat poetry is
thank you.
Beatboxing mixed with poetry.
Yeah. And I thought, I'll just go with it. I think I'll just go with it. I mean, there wasn't any opportunity to ask a question that quickly. Also, if people like this segment, maybe comment on Stuck in the Middle on Facebook, and you guys can suggest also ones that you want to hear. If, Mike, you don't sure. want to be the only one to do it, but you guys can do it too. And listen, I'm dyslexic, so it's going to go differently than anyone ever thought. Or I'm literal, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I'm dyslexic.
I'm going to take a class on what dyslexia means.
You want to know what's so interesting about dyslexia? It's not the same. Like, everybody has a different... It's about... That's what's
Jesse's
crazy.
Like, well, if you learn in my class, in that class, that this actually is not dyslexia.
I'm saying I went to dyslexia camp, obviously, when I was younger.
That's a thing.
Where, like, because some people are dyslexic with numbers. Some people are dyslexic with... And I remember at the end of
I'm
the camp...
I'm dyslexic with men.
I just remember at the end of the camp, essentially what the people told my parents is like, she's got the kind of dyslexia that it's just for like, I think other people could get like,
hey, your money was absolutely wasted.
Pretty much. It was like, well, this is like, she's going to just have to learn her brain. Like, it's not like we can fix it, essentially.
Amen.
And I like it. I like my brain. It thinks differently and it's a little out there, but you know what?
Again, I don't think beatboxing is a was a
dyslexic
is
mistake.
A thinking.
What do you want to call me? Just say it.
I don't there's
an idiot?
You just didn't
what?
Know what it was.
You calling me stupid?
I'm saying you just
I'll
didn't know
triggered.
What it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
I just didn't know what beatboxing was.
I just didn't know what it was. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
My ADD makes me mean. That's the thing. And I can't help it.
And I can't help who it is.
Okay, so that's all we have for you today, folks.
I thought that was pretty impressive. You know what I mean?
Me too.
I'm impressed.
Okay, so join Stuck in the Middle on Facebook. Join the Patreon, okay?
Yes.
The new videos are up.
Yes.
We'll continue to go up. And they look great. The high episode looks. We got some comments on the Patreon on the high episode. It said Chris should play both parts.
Really?
Really? It said it was the funniest episode. People liked it.
Oh my God. I love to hear that.
Yeah, it was good things.
Okay. And only good things. I love you guys. Our audience, I have to say, is like the greatest, most kindest, most wonderful people in the world.
And never change.
And literally never change. A lot of them root for you too. Because they always, of course.
What do you mean a lot of them root for me too? I would fucking hope so.
I'm saying, but a lot of them know that you don't check your messages. So a lot of times I get messages being like, could you tell Chris that I love him? And I'm like, I absolutely will relay that message.
Can I see?
Yeah, I'll show you all the messages. Not right now.
Yeah. We'll see. Okay, so until next time. Live every day like you're what's the oldest.
We love you. Bye.
The Middle Children.
Middle Children is produced by Cameron Rude.
Our theme song is written and performed by Hannah Solo and Alex Mitchell.
With photography by Sarah Nathan.
And artwork by Abby Lloyd.